Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership mini podcast, where we share tips to empower leaders in the nonprofit world. I am Margaret Katz-Kahn, and I'm here today with David Langiuli.
Hey, Margaret.
Hey, David. How's it going?
Good. We're gonna go a little bit off script today.
Well, there's a shocker, because if you've never met us, we have a lot of trouble staying on script.
Spoiler alert, Janice. We're just putting it out there, Janice. We're going a little off script today. We're not following the rules for the mini podcast.
For those of you who have been listening, we have spent several weeks talking about the various or introducing you. Well, probably you've already met many of them, but to the list of saboteurs as they appear in Shirzad Shamin's PQ program. But today we've come up with a new saboteur. We've invented a new saboteur.
Well, yeah, it lives in the land of some of the other saboteurs we have already spoken about. And if just to remind folks, if you haven't tuned in to these mini podcasts, we're talking about some of the behaviors and mind patterns that we all have to a certain degree, and how they had an original survival function. They may have served us well when we were younger, but maybe not so much as adults and as professionals, as leaders. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the one we're going to talk about today is it has pretty big impact, not just on us, but I think it's got a funny way of really leaking out into the planet.
Yeah,
so I'm going to let David cue us up here.
All right, thanks. Let's call it the scarcity saboteur. And surprisingly, and again for Janice, who's like our cheerleader for the podcast. Janice and I started our first workshop with the United Way of Greater Toronto. Was a workshop on scarcity.
Yeah, how fun. So
with a group of fundraisers.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, right? Because both David and I were fundraisers in our former lives before becoming coaches and leaders. And scarcity it's funny because there's so much of it in the fundraising world. But what's also true is you really can't raise money when that saboteur is acting up for you, when that scarcity saboteur, you just can't.
Yeah. Yeah, I shared with Margaret, I shared with you before getting on the podcast that, I had and still have a scarcity mindset, although, I've been working on that for over 20 years. And I think we all have it. I think it is just a survival function, that we hoard resources, we are afraid of running out.
Yeah.
And so there's a certain helpful way that voice can help you survive.
Yeah. I want to say too, I think you're talking about money and resources, but I also think that scarcity mindset can live, like about us in our personalities, not enough or I'm not good enough. So
it's a big one.
And it's a kind of judge, right? I mean, it's a voice of the judge.
It's also, we were talking, it's a voice of the controller, which we've talked about previously.
Yeah.
And it's rampant in, just in lots of circles. Like right now with inflation, people are afraid of running out of toilet paper or formula, or, there are some shortages of things. And so that can trigger your scarcity mindset. And not that helpful for fundraisers or fundraising leaders. And the way it showed up, it was so interesting when Janice and I did the workshop with the United Way, it showed up around time.
Oh yeah. There's another place of scarcity. Yes. Yeah. There's not enough. I don't have enough time.
Not enough time. Never enough time. Yeah. I don't have time to do everything I want to do. Oh my God. Right? Time is a big scarcity trigger.
It is. And I think all of us, it's such a great example. And I think people are willing to believe this more maybe about time, whereas money is sometimes harder, but there's a finite amount of time. you know,
and
you spend it differently.
Even that. Yeah.
You don't believe that it's finite. Ooh.
I don't.
Say more. Challenge me on this, David.
Right. Well, clock time, like Eckhart Tolle likes to use the word clock time.
Uh-huh.
You know, clock time is the 24-hour clock. It's just a way, one way of measuring time.
Right.
Right. But in some senses, if you think, well, there's only 24 hours in a day, then you're already in scarcity consciousness, period.
Yeah, that's true. Right?
Who knows how much time we have, actually,
as a
being, as a soul.
Right.
You like to use the word soul. So I'm just using one of your words, right?
Yes.
If the soul, as many believe it to be, is goes on to infinity, then time is just an illusion.
That's true. And time is also an illusion, right? Because when you're doing something amazing, time does in fact fly by. And
it slows down.
Right. All of us remember the class that you hated in high school, and you looked up at the clock and you're like, there is no way that only 2 minutes have gone by since I looked at the clock last, you know?
Right. Or you could be
like
involved.
An hour.
Right. Or you could be involved in what's called flow kind of states. There was a lot of talk about being in flow or being in your zone of genius.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, time will slow down. You'll be like, you're so enjoying it. You don't even think about clock time.
Yeah.
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 And Einstein, you know, pretty much proved that time is just like a variable in physics, right? It can slow down and it speeds up. So the speed of light changes, so to speak. So even though it's a constant, but it relatively can change. So I'm just trying to come at this from different angles for people so they can realize, like, maybe it'll hit somebody in the forehead and say, wait a minute, all of my beliefs about time are maybe not correct. Not accurate.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah. And we started talking about this as it relates to money, right?
Yes. Yes.
And we were sort of saying that maybe if scarcity is a new saboteur, then maybe generosity is the sage power that helps to counter it.
Yeah, I like that. Generosity is the sage power that neutralizes scarcity. You know, and I so learned this when I first started out as a frontline fundraiser, that if I'm going to ask people for money, I got to get my mind right about money.
Yeah.
And it was little things like, I'll give a shout out, because I've done it before, to Jeremy Benjamin, who lives out in San Francisco, and I worked with we were colleagues, we shared a cubicle together, and both doing fundraising. We used to go to lunch together and just talk about everything, and we read together Lynn Twist's book, The Soul of Money.
Well, there's the soul. Yeah.
There's the soul part, right? By the way, audience, if you feel like you are caught, if you're in the fundraising world and you feel like you're caught up in scarcity consciousness from time to time, go get that book. Highly recommend it.
She's inspirational.
Inspirational. And she quotes somebody in that book on the realm of, she quotes someone that she heard this expression from. I can't remember who it was. He said, money's like manure. It's best to spread it around liberally.
<That's>
See,
funny.
You can think about money in lots of different ways.
Yeah, right? She talks about money being like water and having flow to it. Here's kind of where the rubber meets the road on this one. Like, if you're asking somebody for money and you don't believe that they want to give that money, right? Like, if you're projecting your own scarcity, right? If your space is, you know, well, if I had $100, I wouldn't give it to charity. I'd go buy, you know, if that's the space that you are inhabiting, then as fundraisers, we tend to project that on our donors, and we come in with hesitation, and we don't believe in their generosity.
Right. Yeah. I know you do a lot of work, Margaret, with fundraisers around mindset.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think we're going to start talking, you and I, about some kind of arc of learning. So stay tuned, folks, because yes, this is going to be coming your way on like the inner game of the fun of a fundraiser, the inner game of a, we're talking about inner game here. Not right. I have to do so many phone calls, and then I have to send out so many emails to get so many visits to make so many asks so I can get so much money. No, we're not going to do any of that. Like,
how do you get your mind right? I love that.
Get your mind right.
How do you get your mind right?
But I want to go back to Jeremy, because maybe this will be somewhere we can point the audience if they're working on this. Like, I used to watch Jeremy. We used to go through like the cafeteria, and he would always leave change in the jar. Always. Always. I never left change in the jar. So that was, to me, like, wow, Jeremy's really, it's like a little gesture, but it lives in the land of the sage power of generosity. Like, you can give just that little. So I started doing that. Uh-huh. And I do that all the time now.
Yeah.
You know, and then for me, it's like, oh, can I leave now? My next thing is like, can I leave my change and throw a dollar in?
Oh, yeah.
It's huge, actually. Yeah. I don't always throw the extra dollar in. So I'm still working on it.
That's right. Who even has dollars anymore? But yes, I know what you're talking about.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's another, like, if we're going to give this as something to try, we'll see.
Yeah.
Like, start carrying some cash around and start leaving dollars or change for people. That might be like, really start to work on your scarcity saboteur.
Yeah. And here's another, if you don't have a dollar, hand out a compliment instead, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you get to be generous with praise, acknowledgments. That's something, even with the emptiest of wallets, you know, that you can stop and just look at somebody and say something nice to them. That's another realm of practicing generosity.
I like that a lot, because there is, dare I say, a scarcity of acknowledgement in the world. Partly because we get so, this is going to be all twisted and convoluted, but I'm going to say it anyway. Partly, I believe, because we get so caught up in the scarcity of time that, you know, we're doing this and we're doing that. We got to get this done in the meeting, and then we got to get off and go to the next meeting. We got to get the next call and bang out the next text and whatever. We forget to just pause and acknowledge people that we're with. And man, is that a huge gift to give people acknowledgement.
Yeah, it is. It so is. It's an art form. So
it is. Like, we actually got trained in it. And that's another area where I recognized I was woefully deficient, ungenerous.
Yes. I have learned much more generosity there too. That was something I had to learn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where do we want to point people, David, this week?
What? Yeah, that's a good question. Well, we're going to, in the show notes, since we just invented a new saboteur, maybe folks at Positive Intelligence will hear this podcast. And we've invented a new saboteur and a new sage power.
Yes. But
both of them live in the land of, like, wiser elder self. I would say the wiser elder self is a sage power that we talk about in the program, that generosity would live. Like, looking back on your life, would you wish you had been more stingy, more cheap? We were using that word. You know, you're on your deathbed, and you're like, are you going to say,
I wish I'd
been more cheap. Yeah. Like, I wish there was more money in my bank account that I can't use when I'm dead.
I wish I had treated David to lunch that day. Yeah.
You know, no, you're going to say like, oh, I wish I had been more generous with people in my lives. I wish I had given them, I wish I had acknowledged them more. I wish I'd given them more, you know?
Right. Yes. Yeah. And I think with praise and acknowledgement, it's a great place to start, because it's a much easier belief that there is no finite nature of that.
Okay.
Right.
So let's give them that as a challenge, because that's probably easier than having them put a dollar in change in the tip drawer. That might be, well, let's give them two to try.
Challenges. Okay.
Oh yeah, let's do it. All right. So here's your either or. You can either start, if you're not generous with just throwing money in the chip jar wherever you go, and you want to grow your generosity, start putting money in the chip jar. That's one. And you're going to go with another one with around praise and acknowledgement.
Yeah. I think, how about once a day, you know, for the next 2 weeks, find, you know, challenge your time scarcity and slow it down and think of something nice to say to somebody. And just to remind people, when we do acknowledgements to a person, it's nice to start with "you are."
Yeah. Right. You are fill in the blank. You are so generous. You are so kind. You're so bright. That's what you strike me today, Margaret. You're so bright today. And I don't mean bright in the left brain sort of way. I mean, you're just glowing with light bright.
Oh, thanks, David. See, there it is.
There it is.
Oh, that's lovely. And David, you are playful and so much fun for me today. So
thank you.
I feel beautifully connected.
Good. That's how you do it, guys. Just that easily. And trust me on the other one, if you're going to take on the change, you will not miss the change jingling around in your pants pockets or your purse. You're just not going to miss it.
You're not going to miss it. I love that. Great. All right. This podcast is brought to you by Fundraising Leadership. We provide unique coaching and training programs that powerfully transform how you work in order to get results. Please subscribe. If you haven't already, you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. If you are enjoying the show, you can help us continue to bring thoughtful content with a monthly or annual contribution. This supports our production costs and keeps the show ad-free. Make a contribution today using the link in the show notes. Now, go put it into practice.